From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made this past December at New York Kitchen in Canandaigua, and it all started when the mother of an adult child with autism took a cooking class with her son. Jerry Lynn Sparks and her son Jared took the class, and in her words, it was moving pretty fast for him. He had certain needs that many New York Kitchen students might not have, and so she asked a question. What if we created a class for people with autism? What would that look like? And that eventually led to the creation of the Sous Chef Academy. And the participants are ages 21 and up. They learn life skills and food prep and food safety and more alongside an adult partner in the facility's smaller kitchen. There's safety accommodations in place. The adult partner can communicate about individual needs and the praise. I mean, I'm just looking at the responses and social media. I mean, there's so many families that have really just been so appreciative that something like this can exist. Here at WXXI, we focus on a range of issues related to our inclusion desk, and the story really is right in our wheelhouse here. It is not necessarily about reshaping an existing society. It's about expanding it to include more people. It's a pretty remarkable story as told by Jerry, who is one of our guests this hour. And, you know, now that you're a podcast host, I just feel like we're colleagues, Jerry Lynn Sparks.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome back here. Thank you for being here.
Well, you're always so kind, Evan. Thank you for having me.
Alyssa Belasco is the executive director of New York Kitchen. And I know that all of our listeners, Alyssa, know what this is. But if you haven't been back since it was the New York Wine and Culinary Center, or a different deviation, derivations here. So you want to tell people a little about New York Kitchen?
Sure. Yeah. New York Kitchen's all about celebrating the food, craft beverage, and agriculture of New York State. And the way we do that is through experiences. So we have our cooking classes, we have wine and beverage education, and then we have our tasting room. And when I say, you know, classes and education, it's meant to be fun, but you're learning. There's something for everyone there.
I love the space there, and you're in a great location. Tell people where you are.
We're right on the north shore of Canandaigua Lake. So you come down Main Street, and you basically can't miss it. We share a campus with the beautiful lake house on Canandaigua, new boutique hotel. So you can always spend the night and walk on over.
You can't fix everybody's lack of culinary skills. I want you to know that years ago, Adam Chodak and I took a knife skills class there. And I love to cook, and I learned a lot there. Adam struggles with boxed mac and cheese. And I can't believe he was allowed in the building for a knife skills class. And as one of my very good friends, Adam knows that I'm telling the truth and that it was a mistake to put him in any of these classes. But you know what we had? We had a wonderful time, and I still can take apart a chicken based on that class. That was years ago.
That's called spatchcock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can spatchcock chicken. I learned so much. I'm much better at chopping vegetables. I hold a butcher knife correctly now. I'm like, I learned so much in one class. So anyway, I sound like I'm just like doing PR for you. So I'll spend the rest of the hour grilling you, Alyssa. Where do people find you online to learn about classes?
Sure. NYKitchen.com. And we're also under that on social media. So we're always posting new classes. They're always evolving based on what the community needs and what is new and up and coming that we should feature.
So I bring up the class that I took, Jerry Lynn, because you're someone who probably loves to cook.
I do.
And you've been there before. So how did you end up taking this class in the first place? Take me back before the creation of this academy. How did this all come together?
So I knew about them when they were New York Wine and Culinary Center, and I'd had it in the back of my mind. I really want to take a class. And I just, you know, at the time I was a stay-at-home mom with, you know, the little kids, so I couldn't really do it. So I finally had some free time, and I signed us up for Asian noodles. That was the class. And you make two different dishes. And we went in there, and Jared, he lives in his group home 20 minutes from the culinary center. And it was great. The food was delicious, but it was just going really, really fast. And I was having a hard time, and we burned our pasta, which is hard to do. And then Jared, at one point, we had a big vat of boiling water, and Jared was frustrated because we couldn't keep up with what everybody was doing. And so we just, like, plopped it down in the hot water. I'm like, okay, this is not good. And the chef was wonderful. He came over and helped us. And we did manage to get our meals, our two meals done, but Jared accidentally put way too much spice in it. It was very hot. So after the class was over, I said to the chef, you know, do you guys have any classes for people like my son who has autism and intellectual differences? And he said, not that I know of. He goes, but here's a person you could reach out to. And so he gave me the person who was the director at the time and Alyssa's number. And I immediately got home, you know me, I immediately sent the email out, and I wasn't expecting a response. The very next day I got a response, and they said yes. And they said, if you get the students, we will design this program. And I put a message out onto all my autism advocacy groups, like with, you know, Rachel Stein-Rosner, who was just in the hallway there, through Autism Up, and New York Alliance for Developmental Disabilities, and Homesteads for Hope. Those are the three main autism programs that I'm involved with.
And you needed, what, like 10 as a baseline?
I think we were going for 10. Okay. I think we had to have 7 minimum to make it effective.
Yep.
And 20 signed up wanting to do it. And I was told that's a little bit much, because each student has to have their parent or a caregiver to go with them, because there are developmental differences and, you know, fine motor skills, intellectual challenges, some language delays, that sort of thing. And then they also had to be able to understand verbal directions. And so there were some, you know, caveats to it. So it took me a couple of weeks, I would say, to find, you know, the students that could do it at the time that we were proposing to do it, the date we had chosen. And then for
you
Alyssa,
you sound like it took you a while. That's not
that's
very
pretty
long.
Fast.
That's a quick turnaround. So.
I don't know anything about those plans, but it did happen within just a couple of weeks. And then Alyssa and her team just kind of took over. Once I gave them the list of students, it just became a program. I was amazed, like how fast you guys did. I don't know what you did in the background to make it happen, but you know,
we are fortunate to have some donors that step up when we ask those things, and that's the biggest thing is, you know, everybody's like, well, we got to find the funding first. Yeah. And in this situation, I knew who to ask, and because we knew we wanted to make it happen in a certain time frame.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have, so each month, it's every second Thursday of the month, we meet from January until November. There's two dishes typically that we'll make, and then we've learned to split the class. One half of the class will make one dish, and one half of the class will do the other, and then we eat as a community at the end of every class. So it's from 5 to 7, and it's so nice to see the bonds that are starting to form between these individuals that didn't know each other before this happened, and they're learning knife skills. Like you said, I didn't know how to hold the chef knife. I'm learning a lot in this class, like how to properly, they taught me how to take the center of an avocado out. I didn't know how to do that. Yes, you whack the center and then turn it, and just little things like that. And then to watch Jared develop knife skills, I walked away and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be within arm's reach to give him space, and he's doing it. My son is probably, you know, going to take, you know, Adam Chodak to town. He can like really chop. So they're learning like a lot of different things, and they're all excited about it. And that's, to me, you know, Jared feels like the community is accepting me. And we were there yesterday. Dave Turner does live music there on Sundays, and it's Jared's favorite local musician. And
that dude can play.
He's so amazing. Besides Taylor Swift, Dave Turner is it for Jared. And when we walked in the door, it just felt like home. I know that sounds like a cliche, but you're so accepting there. And Chris in the wine room knows me, and Maya when she's there. Like, it's so nice to have such a welcoming group of people, and they treat Jared like I always say, Jared's nickname is the mayor of everywhere, but that's how New York Kitchen makes Jared feel. He's totally comfortable there, and everyone accepts him there, and that's going to make me cry. You know.
So, a couple of things here. With the avocado, were you the type to like fling out the core and it was like, you know, like hit you in the
yes.
head flying around the kitchen?
Or the microwave. Yeah.
Or the microwave, yeah.
And not get all of this, the avocado off too. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, I remember learning skills like that too. They'll stay with you.
Yeah.
That's one of the nice things.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you, Jerry, about the experience of watching Jared learn and, you know, when you're watching him take a knife skills class, you're nervous for
yes.
him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to back up and make sure the audience understands one important point here. There's a phrase that the disability community uses that we have been mindful of ever since I've been in this chair, which is nothing about us without us. Mm. And that means there's a lot of conversations about disability that happen without people with disabilities in the room. We are having this conversation because in this situation, you know, you said your son Jared lives in a group home.
Yeah.
And you do really lovely posts and you share his heart and his soul with all the people that you know so well. But we're not excluding Jared per se.
He's in program right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's at the ARC.
And you are going to share some of his sentiments with us this hour.
Yes.
So I just wanted listeners to know that the intention is not to try to do a nothing about us without a situation. Mm. We're mindful of that and we respect that. But this is a case where when we say autism, it means, I don't know, a million different things.
Yeah.
I'm going to be clumsy, so help me here.
Okay.
But in this case, you know, there may be adult students, 21 and over, with autism who have significant needs.
Yeah.
Is that, I'm trying to euphemize or try to be fair, but is that fair?
I mean, all of humanity has a different spectrum of needs.
Yeah.
Like there's things I can do you can't do, and there's things
absolutely,
you can
yes.
do that Adam Todak can't do. Like there's a lot of different things.
Many.
He's going to kill me. But no, I think with the class, in that class, and I know you haven't come there personally, but you've seen the post, mm-hmm. Alyssa, there's a range of different competencies in that, but they all have some communication challenges. And so that's why the parents are there, just to make sure that they are safe. Jared started cutting out with a nylon knife, by the way, the first class. I was afraid it was me holding him back. I'm like, not ready. And then Kim, who's the assistant in the class, she said, you know, I think he's ready for a real knife. And I was like, I don't know. And so I really backed off. And my gosh, he did it. Like, you know, so sometimes we as parents tend to overprotect our children. And it takes a skilled professional like Kim and Mary Beth Coriali. Am I saying her name?
Brinkerhoff. But that's her maiden name, you got.
Mary Beth Coriali Brinkerhoff. To realize, because they do this all day long, they recognize the skill sets within the spectrum of students and what they're capable of doing. And that, for me, is I'm learning about that. Even he's my own son, the things he can do. And, you know, it's to me, it's just one of the benefits of this class is me letting go a little bit, and it's hard.
And Jared has told you what about it so far?
Oh, so this is like the origin story, truly. So Jared is the oldest of four children. I had four kids in 5.5 years. They're all really close in age. And he's exceptionally close to his sister, Madison. And the other three do not have autism. And Jared has always understood his role in the family as the oldest child, and he likes to direct his siblings and tell them, you know, what we're going to do today when there's a family gathering. And he happened to hear a couple of years ago when my two youngest started college, he just goes, what? Like, he felt left out. He felt immediately like, how is the world allowing them to go to college and not me? And I had been trying behind the scenes since he was about 17 to look for a college program that is suitable for his level. Jared has vulnerability where he would wander off with anybody, and that's a huge stressor for me. We have a GPS on him because of that, mm-hmm. Because he is very naive. And so seeing the hurt in his eyes, I started looking for a college program for him. I did find one. It costs more than my college costs, and he has to be there alone in a dorm, which is out of the question. He cannot be there alone due to his naivete. And so when I told him about the Sous Chef Academy, a light bulb went off in his eyes. He got really excited, and we had a family gathering at the house, and he walked up to his siblings, and he said, I am going to college. And then the other day, we were all in the car, and he was kind of ragging on his brother a little bit because he's not going to graduate grad school until a year from now. And Jared said, I am graduating college in November. Like, he really is, like, kind of socking it to his brother. And, you know, he's just really happy about it, and he told his sister, Madison, about it. So he just feels like, and he doesn't articulate it as, you know, as much as, you know, you and I would, but I know he feels like he's being left behind because of his competition with his siblings. Like when he found out that they're in college, or when he found out my daughter has her own apartment in Los Angeles, He's been fixated on having his own apartment since then.
And that's not possible?
I don't know. We're doing skill assessments for Jared within the group home he's in. And so Sous Chef Academy, part of that is if he could become independent with cooking, then that's one of the criteria. The other is, you know, to understand how a stove works if there was a gas leak.
Sure, yeah.
I think the most likely scenario for Jared is to possibly have a roommate and then a caregiver that's there, but like a smaller setting than what he has now. He's fixated on it. What I do as his mother is I listen to his dreams and try to check them off one by one. And he's got a long list. It's hard, but I'm trying, and Sous Chef Academy is a big part of that.
Well, and so the bigger story, of course, is when you try to check those dreams off one by one, when you try to open those doors, you don't always get the email the next day.
No.
You don't always get a yes. In fact, you've probably had a lot of no's over the years, haven't
yes.
you?
Yes, a lot of no's.
And so how do you see society changing? I mean, does it feel like it's becoming more open or more accessible?
I think it has. I mean, Jared is 26, and he was diagnosed when he was 3. So it's been 23 years of this for me. People understand a little bit more about what autism is, but I keep getting, like, you know, shocked. I don't know when that's going to go away, when people still don't really understand what autism is. We were just talking in the lobby about some people in my life who are actually uncomfortable around Jared because they don't know what to expect from him. I'm like, he's a human being. He's wonderful. He's absolutely the mayor of everywhere. At the New York Kitchen yesterday during the show, there's a balcony, and we had to come in because it was raining, and there's all these people on the balcony looking down at Dave Turner as he's playing music, and Jared goes, "Hey guys, you want to come join us?" Like, he is just a connector. And when we went hiking at New York Adirondacks last year, he collected people on the trail. And it was just me and Jared to start out this long hour and a half hike up a pretty steep mountain. And by the end of it, there's 14 of us. And that's because of Jared, not me. Jared just like, "Hey, you want to join us?" And you can't say no to him when he asks so gleefully. And so we ended up with a collection of people. And I think New York Kitchen, one of the things that I see from them is the most accepting group of staffers. I mean, they are. There's not a single person there that I would not describe as welcoming.
I fully support that. We're big on the culture. I've been big on helping to change that. And I think that, you know, you have been a great addition, even though you're not on the payroll. you're part of that unofficially. Yeah. So thank you.
I love it there. I encourage everybody to go there. It's wonderful. There's an outdoor seating area to have lunch. You can see the lake. And there's the inside restaurant, all those classes. I even took an art class there where you paint with dehydrated wine. Yeah, I framed that thing. I love it.
Is it good?
No.
I think it turned out really well.
Oh, it was fun.
You're hard on yourself, Jerry. Somebody listening is going to share this or know someone, or they themselves are wondering, how does my family get involved? How can I... When is the next academy? How do we do that? What's the answer, Alyssa?
So we're still talking about what the future looks like, and funding it plays a role in that. But I think if they reached out to us, our director of food and beverage education, Laura Downey, she would be happy to, you know, we're basically creating a list at this point. We're not going to be short of people who want to participate. It's just, how can we roll this out from just be effective and make sure that we're being inclusive of who's involved. So,
and New York Kitchen is online where?
NYKitchen.com.
All right, let me get a little bit of feedback from listeners. Frank in Greece, first of all. Hi, Frank. Go ahead. Hey there, Frank. Go ahead.
Hello.
Frank. I'm sorry. Yep, go ahead.
I'm a U.S. Naval veteran. I'm disabled. And I have a support dog, and my support dog trainer turned me on to someone who can help me with my day-to-day cleaning needs and day-to-day cooking needs. And at this very moment, I'm cooking potatoes. And I just want to say that, I wrote notes here. But I just want to say that I want to remind you of an experience I had in Perkins. And I know alcoholism is not on the autism spectrum. However, we all worked at a Perkins back in 1983, and we had some poor sap who was trying to give up the bottle, and he was all sweaty and he was all shaky. And you know, the wheel man, the person in charge of the whole kitchen, you know, the executive chef said, Bill, white gravy on the white meat, dark gravy on the dark meat. And Bill made it through. So I just want to say that I want you, please, to take time for yourself. I hear a little anxiety in your voice, and I want you to take time for yourself, take a couple deep breaths, and the world will turn out just fine. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Frank. I know Frank's been through a lot. I think I don't know about anxiety, Jerry Lynn Sparks, but
probably excitement.
I'm
an excitable person.
Do you take time for yourself?
I do. I actually have a hiking group that I created. It's women hiking, and we call it Rock Women Hike. And we hiked, I think, 85 miles last year. And I went to Martha's Vineyard by myself a year or two ago, just me and the ocean. It was awesome. And I go to concerts with friends. I do go to a lot of concerts with my children. But I think I have kind of mastered that work-life balance, parenting balance thing. I don't think that I get enough of it, but I know how to. But I have a really fun time, and my kids are a big part of my life. But I've built a great group of, support and friends around my life.
Part of what Frank is just talking about is, you know, he's a somewhat regular caller, very sweet guy. Smart guy. We know he's been through a lot. And he's describing just a situation where he or people around him might have their own needs that are different than maybe a typical diner goer or a Perkins goer. And the world isn't always set up to accommodate that. Yeah. So I mean, that's part of why I wanted to really kind of talk to you today about is the experience at New York Kitchen, is that like extraordinary because it's so unusual, or is it extraordinary because they deserve the praise for it, or is it becoming less unusual? That's kind of, I really want to understand how you perceive that.
So we were also just talking about this with Rachel. So DEI has come a long way. There's still industries where you'll have diversity, equity, and inclusion. And if you look at the bullet points of what groups are included, you will not see developmental disabilities in there. I don't know why. It's one of my missions is to change that. But in terms of out in society, I go to CMAC all the time for concerts, and the staffers there over the course of since 2019 when I started taking my son with autism to these concerts. The first year was rough because I really didn't know how to advocate and reach out for what I needed. The lines, the parking, all those things I had to kind of figure out and make a roadmap for. But I've since worked with CMAC, and they'll have staffers to watch my son while I need to go to the restroom, for example. They're working on getting more family restrooms put in so Jared can go in the restroom and, you know, where he's by himself. So things like that. So CMAC is very receptive. I think Rochester in general is incredibly receptive. The Northeast, I've noticed. I was just in Boston this past week. Very, very receptive to people with different needs. There's a lot of work in certain pockets of the country that I feel like it's not as experienced with what we're doing here in New York. I think Rochester's really special. I've lived all over the country. I've traveled all over this country. I think there's the fact that we have the National Technical Institute for the Deaf here. We have just strong hospital, autism. There's so many resources here. I don't know that every community has that. And some of it, for my personal experience, is that both Jared and I are extroverts. I don't think we give people a whole lot of choice whether or not they're going to engage with us or not. That's probably not true for every family. But I do think your overall general question is there's still work to be done because DEI currently does not seem to include individuals like my son.
Where is it the hardest?
Where I'm from, and I love where I'm from. I'm from the Southeast. I love it there.
Get out of here.
The wonderful people in my family that know Jared, but I've definitely not been able to find resources there because I've looked. I've actually considered over the years moving back there. I can't find exactly what we have here in New York there. The infrastructure's not there. I think it is changing because I've had numerous phone calls with the Autism Society in North Carolina. Years ago, they told me to not even think about it. They said I'd be crazy to move him down there. Over the last few years, though, I'm so embedded in Rochester, I've decided I'm staying here and just visit a lot more. But definitely, I don't see the same services there yet. I think the more New Yorkers move to North Carolina, maybe that'll change. There's a huge influx of New Yorkers into the Raleigh-Durham Research Triangle. I can't speak for all of the South, but that's my personal experience.
Mm-hmm. And then in what parts of our own area do you still see, are you still frustrated?
Oh, well, certainly the educational aspect. There's nothing for people who are 21 and age out of high school. You have to, as a parent, and if the individual can advocate for themselves, come up with your own tailored program. And I was very frustrated. The thing that really breaks my heart, and I was speaking to you a little bit about this yesterday, a lot of individuals with autism or other developmental disabilities, once they're finished with high school, if they don't have the kind of advocate that just doesn't take no for an answer or isn't creative, these individuals, wonderful human beings, are languishing at home playing video games or just watching TV. And that breaks my heart. I know Jenny Ray Brongo is trying her best with Homesteads for Hope to create a community that has inclusiveness classes. I know Autism Up is doing that. But this is just one pocket of the state. Downstate, the reason I joined New York Alliance for Developmental Disabilities during the pandemic, there's a lot of places that used to offer programs that are closed. The funding is not there. The state has decided that OPWDD can spend money on surveys. And I understand the need for knowledge. I have a research degree myself. But I was telling Alyssa and Rachel in the hallway, you can tell a lot about society by how it treats its most vulnerable. And Rachel said, and by how they spend their money. My son and individuals like him are the sweetest human beings. They're worthy. This world is built for them, too. And I don't think that our educational system in this state and in this country, probably this world, is set up with that inclusiveness to include people like my son who can't advocate for himself that well. But he has so much to offer. I mean, he has synesthesia. And during Dave Turner's set yesterday, he was calling out to the crowd, "That song is light orange. That song is green." And I knew he had synesthesia, but Dave didn't.
That's seeing color in sound.
Yes, and you have other aspects of it. Jared has that. You can also have the name Evan, and it can trigger a color in someone with synesthesia's mind. Or you could hear a song, and it makes you think of a certain taste. Jared's expression of synesthesia is when he hears music, he sees colors coming out of the singer's mouth.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it was fascinating. But that to me shows some of our greatest artists have synesthesia. I'm a big fan of Mary J. Blige. They think that she has that. And she's going into the Hall of Fame with our local Lou Graham this year. So there's a genius inside of Jared's mind when it comes to recognizing art and creativity, the pitch. You know, he's just so incredibly intelligent. And as a toddler, he hummed Mozart perfectly. And his art, I took an art class with him at Five Brothers in Brockport this past December. And his art piece was so much better than everyone in the class. And here he is with special needs, and it's gorgeous. He's just got so much to offer. And he asked most interesting questions of people. He'd be a great interviewer. You know, he just has so much to offer. And I think the world is missing out on people like my son if they don't engage with them.
Talking to Jerry Lynn Sparks, who is the mother of Jared, who's 26 now. 26.
I know.
Golly.
I know. I had him when I was four. No, I'm just kidding.
26 years old. And Jared lives in a group home.
Yes.
He's in program today.
Yes.
But Jerry is speaking on behalf of her family and the experience they have had at New York Kitchen, which has created this program that when we come back from our only break, we're going to talk about the fact that, you know, I went back and I looked at some of the initial postings that you had and how fast the interest there was.
Yeah.
Alyssa Belasco is the executive director of New York Kitchen in Canandaigua, which has helped create this Sous Chef Academy. And if you missed it earlier, we'll make sure that you know exactly some of what they've been doing.
Yeah.
And so what skills Jared will graduate.
Yeah.
I was going to put an air quote. It's graduation.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
He's looking forward to November and graduating from Sous Chef Academy. Yeah.
You should come. You should come to the graduation.
And then I'm going to throw our guest a curveball. I read a piece this morning and as it relates to food and our habits. And it was one of those pieces where I've been thinking about how we commune and how we get together or how we don't get together. And I was kind of thinking about this for a while, and then I'm like, someone just went and put every word I've been thinking into a piece in The Atlantic. And that's what I want to talk about too. So like I'm a little concerned about how little we end up dining together and what that means when we don't have the skills or the means or the time or the availability or the space to do it. So a lot to talk about in our second half hour. Let's take that only break and we'll come right back. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on The Next Connections, an institution, one of the very best journalists I have ever met, is retiring. Karen DeWitt, Capital Bureau correspondent, the Capital Bureau chief, the many hats and titles she's had, she has earned them all. One of the great state correspondents in the country. We're going to talk about her career, what she's learned, and the future of public radio with Karen. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Jerry, you know, Alyssa points out that you turn this thing around fast, whether you realize it or not. But some of that's because there was so much interest in a series of classes for adults with autism to learn how to cook, to learn how to do kitchen skills, literally knife skills, things like that. Were you surprised at how fast you got responses that people wanted to do this? No?
No, because we have a passionate group of people that are desperate for something to do. When I was in high school, there was a group called the Hugh O'Brien Youth Foundation, and I was one of the ambassadors. I wrote a writing contest and won, and I got to go to Charlotte, North Carolina, and tour all these businesses. I got to tour, I think it was Delta Airlines and like some bank, and I was thinking, you know, when I was starting the idea for this class, that's the sort of stuff my son would love. He would love to have like an ambassador program where he gets to tour all the businesses around Rochester. He's so curious. And, you know, maybe I'll work with Paulie Guglielmo now that he's the incoming Rochester Rotary president to kind of get that happening. But no, there is a dire need for activities. After 21, Jared's still kind of like emotionally 5 to 7 year old in many pockets. He's got areas of different abilities, like his computer skills are great. But he wants to continue doing things. It's a shame that they age out of high school at 21. I wish there was a separate next program that was, you know, through the state. The ARC is the choice. But no, I was not surprised at all. I knew that there was going to be, we had more than enough people. We had enough to do two classes of interest.
So I've mentioned that New York Kitchen, and Alyssa has mentioned that, you know, with the proper funding and opportunity in the future, they'd like to continue this. You should also know, because Alyssa took time, literally got off a plane and like came right here. There's a lot, there's so much happening at New York Kitchen. It's a really cool date place. It's a cool place to kind of gift ideas for people who have always thought about taking these kind of classes. Maya Johnson Dunn, who's brilliant, teaches all kinds of different cool stuff there. So you got a lot going on, don't you, Alyssa Bliss?
We do, and it's difficult for me as a working there, but then I want to spend my free time there because the classes are. It's just you don't need to have any experience. You just need to show up with an open mind, and it's the same. You know, we want to meet people with where they are and what they already know, and build on that. So, you know, our cooking classes. We've now got, like we're talking about today, Sous Chef Academy. We have junior chef camps for youth. You know, teens 11 to 12 to 17. But that's That would have been a great program for, you know, building off of for Sous Chef Academy. Yeah. So just kind of we get these ideas and then we run with it. But then we have to be mindful of the funding. Yeah. Some of the things that are going on right now that I really love is our beverage programming. And that's thanks to Maya Johnson Dunn. We started a DEI over wine program. And so it's a cohort model, 3 sessions. We're going into the second cohort, starts June, I think, 26th. But so far, that's been really well attended by professionals working in wine. It's not exclusive to that, but it's really talking about building inclusive spaces, allyship, code of conduct, things like that. And then using real world examples of craft beverage and these businesses that are doing the work to be inclusive and bring in diverse audience staff wise and patrons. So that's a program that I'm loving. We also have a black wine series. So the second installment will kick off, I think it's in July, and then another one in September. And really just, you know, bringing in content and experiences that are, you know, enjoyable for everybody.
Online where, Alyssa?
NYKitchen.com.
We're going to keep doing that so people can find it.
They also have non-alcoholic beverages because my son loves Saranac Lake brand. So they have a lot of New York brands that are non-alcoholic. And also upstairs in the restaurant, like you can go there and not just take classes. There's a great restaurant upstairs. They have local art, local artists. It's good, too. Mm-hmm. So it's the whole theme is everything local New York.
Well, so some of what Jared's going to graduate, you want to describe, by the time we get to November, what kind of skills do you think your son will have?
So the first class in January was learning how to read a recipe and measure. And I thought Jared knew that, but we learned some tricks about leveling off with the knife and the measuring cup. And they've learned how to juice a lemon, how to whack a garlic, tool use, knife use, stirring, sautéing, the different terminology. Mary Beth Brinkerhoff, Brinkerhoff used to be a special ed teacher.
MBB,
yeah,
long
MBB.
Time friend of this program. She's one of the amazing. One of the great educators.
Yeah, and she's so patient and creative, and gives everyone a chance. And she's taught them how to do pasta. We made our pasta with the pasta machine. I didn't even know how to do that. We made our own tortillas. They've made their own meatballs, like just all these different things. And New York Kitchen grows their own herbs, so I'm told we get to go pick some herbs sometime. I'm looking forward to that.
Day of Caring was very, very good to us. Yeah. We have a great garden coming up. Yeah. So
I looked at it yesterday. Their lavender is beautiful. And so he's learning like from, like a total sous chef would. Chopping is one of the bigger ones. This Thursday, they're making cakes, and we're going to learn how to put filling in the center. I don't know how to do that, so I'm looking forward to that myself. So we're doing cake and cupcakes this Thursday. And then in November, from what I'm told, and Alyssa, correct me if I'm wrong, there's going to be a ceremony, and they're going to get, I think, an apron or something
they're
like
gonna
that.
They're going to get a chef coat.
Yeah, chef coat and a little certificate, and there's going to be like a little ceremony, and I'm just over the moon about that.
That's going to mean a lot to Jerry, won't it?
Yes. Oh, he's definitely going to not let his brothers hear the end of it, for sure. I think my daughter's going to try to fly in for it.
I love it.
I hope so.
We have space. We'll make it work.
Yeah. So I'm super excited. I do think it is worthy of a media report, Evan. I know you've got connections.
Well, we through our inclusion desk and our reporting, we do all kinds of related reporting. And we may get down there for the graduation.
Yeah, there might be some good food there.
I imagine there will be. I was thinking about how often I am eating meals in a car or at my desk. I mean, I suspect we probably all are from time to time. And I suspect especially our European friends would be appalled at that. And I've been told that on a number of occasions. But I haven't really known how to think through the implications of that. And then today, here's a piece from Nolan Gray on The Atlantic. America's loneliness has a concrete explanation. Dining space is dying. And he's not talking about restaurants. Mm. He's talking about how we're designing our home spaces. So, first of all, if you are looking for an apartment, the apartment is much less likely to have a dining room, and you're much less likely to feel like you want one if you're in your 20s. But the piece also talks about the rise of great rooms, which combine kitchen and some seating to eat as opposed to dining space. The piece talks a lot about the way that we haven't prioritized coming together to eat, and we eat quickly. We don't spend time at lunch together. We don't spend time at dinner together. So the reason I connect this to the conversation now is even for someone like Jared, who society has for centuries just forgotten.
Yeah.
Now Jared's got skills that he can make a meal with you. He can take pride in it. Mm-hmm. He can share these skills in different ways. And he's an extrovert. Yep. He'll be able to do that. And it won't just be about the food that he's making, right?
Yeah.
What will that mean for his life, Jerry?
So someone asked me this the other day, if Jared intends to take the skills he's learned at Sous Chef Academy and turn that into a job. I know that's what Jared wants. I don't know if it's practical in his case, but I think some of the students there, absolutely, because there is a spectrum. But Jared wants that. He is more confident now. And yesterday, there was a very pretty girl who's working at the New York Kitchen, and Jared has an eye for a very pretty girl. And he walked up to her and he said, do you know my name? And she was kind of taken aback by that. And he started holding her hand, and they walked into the tasting room, and he showed her his barbecue sauce, Blue Ridge barbecue sauce. So just that combination, the fact that New York Kitchen has welcomed his barbecue sauce, he feels a part of the community. Jared's always been entrepreneurial. He wants to be a smoothie entrepreneur. I haven't figured that out because of the cold packing and freezing. But I think he really enjoys the sitting down that we do at the end of every class. Like that, I think, was just a stroke of genius. I didn't know that was going to be part of the class design, by the way.
It's been evolving since it started. We actually ordered the chairs specific for Sous Chef Academy to make sure that could be a thing.
And didn't you say that there was some type of fundraiser that you needed to talk about to help pay for these things? I want to make sure that we get that in there.
Yes, it's our annual garden party is our biggest fundraiser, August 13th this year. And it was actually last year, because it was August last year, that I did mention, I gave a shout out to Jared and Jerry Lynn, just to say that, you know, we can't accommodate all of the ideas, but this was one that spoke to me and that needed to happen. And it's evolved, the program. I mean, we don't want to assume we know what these adults showing up for Sous Chef Academy, like where they're at. So we had to assess things, you know, kind of as we go. And that's where, you know, we had these safety knives to start.
Yeah.
Found that they were all very capable of using a real knife. So why not do that? And so it kind of has evolved each month. And that's thanks to Chef Mary Beth and Kim for doing that.
And one of the things that happened, you don't know this story. I don't think you know this story. When we all showed up that day in the parking lot, there was this like look in the parents' face, like, is this actually happening? Is this going to happen? And I think it was all mothers. It may have been one father. And we all kind of congregated. We'd never met before in the parking lot. And this is like this crew of people following me. And we all looked at each other. And all the mothers, when Mary Beth started teaching in the class, we all like teared up. Like, finally, we're being included. It was just amazing feeling. And I think Jared sensed that, and he realizes this is something special. And there was a woman who was listening to one of the reading one of the posts I put in, and I think Autism Up, and she is a camp counselor in the Southern Tier, and she runs a kitchen program in the summer, and she said they would be willing to hire some of the individuals from this program once they graduate. So there's a connection. There's something that's a positive outcome from this. I don't know if Jared would be able to do it without me there, but certainly there are some individuals that are in this class that I could see that becomes a summer job for them.
Well, all of that came out of what Jared is going to benefit, how he's going to benefit from this.
He's got a community now. I didn't tell you this. I invited the women and individual students in the Sous Chef Academy to start going on Adirondack hiking trips with me. I haven't told them this yet, but if they're listening, I'm also going to invite them to a CMAC concert with me. Like, we have formed a community that didn't exist before. Like, these mothers and fathers who, what are we going to do with our children now that they're 21? We found each other, and that's thanks to Alyssa and her group. Like, we've formed a little community here. So I think it's meant some peers for Jared. Jared calls everyone friend. I mean, that is the beauty of Jared. Like, everyone, if he meets you, he shakes your hand, you're now Jared's friend. But now he has some individuals of his same age cohort that are going through the same things in life and in classes together, that we can do stuff together. We're looking at going to the Wild Center, which is the number one science museum in the country. And I just went with Jared in April.
You are a dynamo, Jerry Lynn Spark. I want to read the last couple of paragraphs of Nolan Gray's piece in The Atlantic today about the way that our loneliness epidemic might be at least in part driven by the absolute sharp decline in dining together. He writes, in cities across the country, apartments are shrinking, even as single-family homes continue to grow. The difference is that many of the former are subject to arbitrary zoning rules that limit the total amount of floor area that can be built in places where apartments can be built at all. Combine an acute housing shortage with tight zoning rules, and you end up with a lot of tiny apartments and few dining rooms. In an age when Americans are spending less and less time with one another, a table and some chairs could be just what we need. Mm. End quote. You're nodding over there, Alyssa. What do you think?
I'm big on, creating, if there's not a seat at the table, let's make that happen. Mm-hmm. Diverse perspectives. And, they say something like the kitchen is the heart of the home. Mm-hmm. And so, creating experiences around food. I mean, even if it's, a communal cooking like Sous Chef Academy or a giant charcuterie board that, no one's judging that it's a lot of things just kind of strewn about an island, but that culmination coming together at the table or the island or meeting together and just the conversations that come from that. I'm really big on, we used to have friends that we would get together. So now this is a trigger that we need to make that happen. Kitchen nights and it's food and it's beverage. And, we actually are in the process of we got to sign the deal to redo our kitchen, which is a big commitment. But because we want to make sure that, our kitchen is something that we can entertain and bring people together in.
I was probably 18 years old running out during a staff break at a summer camp I worked at. And there was a couple of people in the car with me, and one was a counselor from France, my friend Perrine. And I went through a drive-thru and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm getting food." And she said, "You're not going to eat it in the car, are you?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "You're not going to eat?" And she said, "I'm French. We're not going to eat in the car."
Yeah.
She might have been exaggerating, but I actually felt like she was quite upset with me. And I've never forgotten that. I mean, that was a quarter century ago, probably more. Oh, my God, it's more. And I just think of how we value time. I'm not great at it. I need to do more of it. I need to sit down more to eat. I should prioritize it more. How often are you, Alyssa, eating in a car or at a desk or whatever?
You would be very disturbed.
I'm not disturbed. I'm in the same situation.
I feel like I'm in a constant state of rushing and getting to the next place. I live in Rochester. I work in Canandaigua, so I have a 40-minute drive. So I'm constant. My car is disgusting. I have mobile detailing that comes to me because, again, busy, so that I can have it cleaned, because I'm constantly eating at my desk and in my car. Snacks in my purse so that I can do things on the go.
What about you, Jerry?
I work from home, so I don't have the commute issue, but I live alone. And I remember I'm so used to having four kids around the table. So the first couple of months, I would still sit at the little, I have a beautiful dining nook in my kitchen, and I would sit there and eat, and it felt very lonely. Mm-hmm. So I have fallen into the trap. If I'm not going out to dinner, which I do frequently, I love going out to dinner, I do find myself eating in front of the TV with my boyfriend, David Muir of ABC.
For a moment, I was like, "You didn't tell me you were dating David Muir."
I'm not dating anyone, but I love David Muir. He's my boyfriend.
Okay.
So I'll have dinner with David Muir. He does not know this. but that's what I do now, and it's not healthy, but I do cook for myself. I've learned how to buy groceries for one and how to cook for one. It took a long time. Not knowing, I wasted so much food because I'm so used to having this big group of people. But on Sundays, Jared and I, that's one of the things he and I really do, is he chooses the restaurant. One of our routines, Jared is massively into food, and he picks the most wonderful thing off the menu. You ever see that movie When Harry Met Sally? And
it's an American rule.
I love it. I know everywhere by heart. And Harry goes, "Let Sally order for you. She has a knack for choosing the best thing on the menu." Well, that is my son, Jared. He does. He'll order a rack of, what is it called? I'm not a big meat eater, but a rack of ribs or something, and just savor it. Like, he really loves sauces. That's why he is a barbecue sauce owner. but he chooses, the best dessert. He talks about it all week. He looks forward to it. Jared has not lost that art. And I like to think it's because when they were little, we grew our own food. My kids, I had seven fruit trees in our yard. We grew berries, grapes, herbs, lettuces. And I give them a little basket and they would go out and pick their dinner, climb the tree and get the cherries. Lovely memories of that. All of my kids are foodies. But I personally, I'm on meetings. I work in a global company, and sometimes if Europe wants to meet and it's my lunch hour, I have no choice but to just grab a granola bar. It's not healthy. So I do try to make a point of having a good dinner. But my lunch a lot of times is, right there by the desk.
I think American lunch is broken.
It is.
It is, which is why we all need to go to New York Kitchen and savor some food.
Well, I mean, as we wrap here, I just want to salute that idea because I think it's important. And obviously what your son and your family are gaining by this is really beautiful. And I'm so grateful that you came on to tell the story.
Well, thank you for having us.
And I know that just looking at some of the reaction already, there's a lot of interest. I suspect that will continue. And nykitchen.com will help you find it and find other classes or opportunities that may work for you. Because, yeah, I mean, even if someone like Adam Chodak cannot learn a knife skill to save his life, even with the best teachers in the world, most people can learn something. Adam cannot. Yeah. Most people can. And you'll be more prepared to want to sit down together. And maybe we'll feel a little bit more connected at the end of all of this. Alyssa, what do you think?
I think so. I think that this should be everybody. The takeaway should be more connections around food and around the table.
And as families, you don't, it doesn't have to be your, you know, like just DEI. Like I would love to take a cooking class with my other children. Like
Absolutely.
There's something wonderful going on there.
Right.
Great location too. It's near CMAQ. It's near the spa there. It's right on the lake. It's just a beautiful area.
Just real quick plug. We do have a class at the end of this month that I am taking on a Sunday where we're going to do a cooking class and we're making like a picnic menu and then going kayaking after. It's all part of the program. So you should do that.
I've never been kayaking. I need to do that.
How many CMAQ shows did you go to last year?
16.
Are you like on the board?
I would love to be. That would be a dream. I'm addicted to music. I just saw the Rolling Stones in Boston, so yeah.
Good gracious. 16 shows. You're like living Canandaigua now.
I'm thinking about
You're
it.
You're like an honorary resident. Hey, thank you, Jerry Lynn Sparks.
Thank you.
Jerry Lynn Sparks has her own podcast called Sparks of Love. Where do people find it?
Sparks of Love on YouTube, Spotify, Apple TV, wherever you get your podcast.
Much love to your family, too.
Thank you.
Thank you. NYKitchen.com, Alyssa Belasco, Executive Director. Thank you for making time
thank
for us
Thank you
here.
For having me.
And from the whole team at Connections, thanks for listening. We're back with you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.